Thank you. You may be seated. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to take them and turn to the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and we're looking at a particular passage of Scripture. It's at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount, as Jesus preaches his first sermon as far as recorded in text, it goes all the way through chapter 7. Very fascinating sermon. Short sermon, which probably some of y'all praying, I have a short sermon this morning. Well, it's just a portion of our Lord's sermon, but let me tell you what, when our Lord speaks, he speaks volumes in just a little bit. And so we're looking at the Sermon on the Mount. We have just finished up the Beatitudes, and the outflow of the Beatitudes, or what comes forth out of the Beatitudes, which are part of the characteristics that's found in every child of God, what comes out of the child of God is the statement that our Lord makes, that you are the salt of the earth, and that you are the light of the world. Now, everything our Lord has said so far with the Beatitudes, they all have an order to it. Every Beatitude, one right after another, it's a purpose if you notice the progression in those Beatitudes. It does not change when we come to you are the salt and you are the light. When our Lord says you are the salt of the earth, salt has the effect of preventing decay. This world, because of its immorality and ungodliness, is decaying and rottening away. But it's because of Christians that are in the world, it prevents it from total decay at this time. You are the salt of the earth. That's talking about your life. It's kind of a silent effect. It's because Christ lives within us. There is something different about our lives than the way of the world. He goes on to say that you are the light of the world. Light projects our witness. Talks about our lips. We witness through our lips. Well, we witness through our lifestyle. You think about light going forth. There's a projection that's going forth. I want you to notice the progress our Lord is using. First, he speaks about our character. That's we are the salt of the earth. Then he speaks about our witness. You are the light of the world. It is not a good testimony to speak when your walk doesn't match your talk. If your character does not fit a child of God, it is not for you to be a witness to the glory of God in your ungodliness. I have seen people who try to witness, living an ungodly life and sharing the gospel with somebody, but the problem is their life does not bear witness to what they say. Therefore, their witness, what they say, does not speak volumes to the glory of God. It is a damaging and a damning testimony. I want you to notice in the Word of God in chapter 5, Jesus has an emphatic statement. He says, you are the light of the world. Same emphatic you as you are the salt of the earth. When I mean emphatic, literally what Jesus is saying, you and you alone are the light of the world. It's very profound when you think about it. Me, with all my faults, all my shortcomings, the Lord tells me I'm the light of the world. Sister Sharon, you're the light of the world. You think about it, Sister Jordy, you are the light of the world. Sister Stacy, you're the light of the world. That's what the Word of God says. Brother Wayne, you're the light of the world. Everyone who is a child of God is the light of the world. Now that's very profound because that's something Jesus said about himself. I want you to turn over with me to the Gospel according to John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, where we find this statement concerning Jesus talking about himself. He says, "I am the light of the world." I want you to notice the setting that Jesus speaks this. In chapter 8 of John, in verse 1, the Word of God tells us, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and he taught them. As Jesus is in the temple, he is teaching the people. There is an incident there that happens that it speaks about from verse 3 down to verse 11. But I want you to look at verse 12. Verse 12 says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of light." Now when Jesus is speaking this, this is the day after that nighttime ceremony where there was called what is called the illumination of the temple. The temple was illuminated with four humongous candelabras. These candelabras were so tall that they extended, according to some, to the height of the temple. These candelabras was found in the court of women, or the court of treasury. They were huge torches at the top of the candelabras. They held each one, think about this, 65 liters of oil to burn. Now you know what, 65 liters is a lot of liters. We don't think in liters, not unless you think of them big Pepsi or Mountain Dews or whatever you drink with the big bottles. That's, you got a liter up there. Well, you think 65 of them, that's quite a large amount. You can imagine the illumination all around the temple, not just in the temple, but from these candelabras as men climbed ladders, poured the oil in there, and then lit those torches, how bright everything was. What was the purpose of this? If you look back in the Old Testament, you remember the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. The Lord Himself guided the Israelites by a pillar of cloud in the daytime to protect them from the sun, the heat, and by a pillar of fire by night to ward off any wildlife, to light the way, the path. And you think about that. Here is the glory of God lighting the way through the wilderness for His people. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Now, in a Jewish mindset, what they're thinking about is that pillar of fire by night that guided God's people through the wilderness. Jesus is equating himself to the glory of God. He is God in the Old Testament. He is God. Here is that cloud. Jesus is basically saying, "I am that cloud. I am the light." What does Jesus do? You think about it. In your personal life, does not He light your way? Does not He lead us by His Spirit through His Word? Does not He guide us in this life? He protects us. He is the light of the world. I want you to notice, because what Jesus says in chapter 5 of Matthew, He says, "You are the light of the world." Jesus is no longer physically in the world. He has ascended up into heaven, but He indwells His people. You are the light, you and you alone. In this world that we live in today, it is you who are the light of the world, is what Jesus is saying. He says, "A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." You think about the light of the world. If only Christians are the light of the world, What does that speak about the world? It tells us that the whole world is in darkness. And as this world lies in darkness, listen to what it says over in John chapter 3. In John chapter 3 and down in verse 19, "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil." The light is coming to the world. Jesus came into his world, into the world, and the world knew him not. There are some that would like to have a little darkness this morning to continue that extra hour's sleep. Well, the lights aren't out, so we're not getting it right now. What the Word of God is telling us, the world lies in darkness. This world system and all that are not believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, they are in darkness, is what the Word of God tells us. The Word of God tells us in John chapter 3 and verse 19 that people that are of this world, they love that darkness. You know what? It's bad to be blind. But it's extremely bad to be willfully blind. And that's where a lot of people are in our world today. People choose darkness because they love darkness, because their deeds are evil. What is darkness? I read a very interesting article the other day, and it says darkness is not real, because darkness is simply the absence of light. Now think about that. It made me ponder a little bit. If darkness is simply the absence of light, you're going to ponder this too for a moment. You know what? You can measure light. Light shows forth things. You cannot measure darkness. Is darkness real? This we know. Light is real. What does it mean to be light? Can we be light in our world today? Jesus calls us light, emphatically calls us light. We can be light. But how does one become a light? Let me tell you something. You, in and of yourself, cannot produce light. It has to be imparted unto you. How is the light of Christ imparted into a person, into a human being? One who is dark, they live in darkness. How can they become light? It's only by having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only by submitting to Him. Listen to what that verse said again in John chapter 8 and verse 12. The latter part of it, Jesus said, "He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Following Jesus Christ, you have light. You must be born again to have light. You must be a disciple of Christ to have light. You must be a believer. You must be born again. How many ways can I say it? You must have faith in Christ alone and His finished work upon that cross, and believing in Him, you have eternal life, and then the light of Christ dwells within you. Wow. You think about it. Jesus said, "You are." There is no distinction there between one Christian and another. Every child of God is light. It was Donald Gray Barnhouse. I think he lived back in the 50s. And when he preached, he used a lot of illustrations. One of the illustrations that he used, that the sun is light in our physical world. The sun gives forth light. The moon at night gives forth light. But it doesn't give light like the sun, because the moon simply reflects the light of the sun. So, in the same sense, Christ is the sun. He's the one who is light. And we are but to reflect that light. We reflect Christ in our everyday life. Sometimes, as Donald Gray Barnhouse said, sometimes we're a full moon. Sometimes we're a half moon. Sometimes we're a thumbnail moon. Uh-oh. It's a good illustration, but I believe the Word of God is saying more than just we're reflecting the light. I want you to notice, Jesus says, you are the light of the world. He's not saying you reflect, but He's saying you are the light of the world. Listen to what it says over in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, Paul says this, "For you were sometimes darkness. In your past, before you trusted Christ, you were darkness. But now are you light." You see, Paul is saying the same thing that Jesus said. You are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Here's something that goes far beyond just reflecting Christ. It is Christ that is in you that is your hope of glory. He dwells within us. For every child of God, the Spirit of God indwells that person. And we are sealed unto the day of redemption. Here is something very profound. The Apostle Peter says we are partakers of His divine nature. Now here is something very mystical. I cannot fully explain this, but this I know according to God's Word, that if you've trusted in Jesus Christ and He is your Lord and you follow Him, that shows He is Lord, then you have that light within you. And you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Here He's not talking about a church. He's talking to individuals. There are many commentators will say, well, He's talking about a church. And a church is like a city set on a hill and it spreads forth light. That is true, but Jesus is talking to His disciples. And He's talking to individuals. And I believe He's saying the same thing today, that every one of us in here who knows Christ, we are light. We are light in a darkened world. Though we have many imperfections, and my imperfections might be more than your imperfections, yours might be more than mine. Regardless of that, if you know Christ, you are the light of the world. And you know what? You shine brighter. You know how you shine brighter for the Lord? You get in the presence of the Lord. The more you're in the presence of the Lord, the brighter you'll shine. You ever seen them things where they glow in the dark, but you got to hold them in the light before they glow in the dark? You know what I'm talking about? Some of y'all might know what I'm talking about. Well, you know what? We got to be in the light. We got to be close to the light. Jesus Christ is the light. And the more we gaze upon His glory, the more we are changed from glory to glory, is what it says in 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18. Are you shining to the glory of God? Our purpose, as our Lord illustrates it, He illustrates it in a couple different ways. I want you to notice first, He says, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Have you ever seen a city on a hill? I remember driving years ago through Kansas. I don't know if anybody of y'all have ever been through Kansas. Kansas is like this, literally for hundreds of miles. It's just flat land. Flat. I mean, you can drive, and it seems like you're getting nowhere. You see a city up ahead, and it could be 100 miles away. You can see that it's flat, so you can see it. And you drive, and you drive. You see the lights, and you drive, and you drive, and them little lights are still little lights. How much more so if a city is set on a hill, can it not be hid? How are you going to hide a city? Put a blanket over it? You can't do that. Jesus said, a city that's set on a hill, it cannot be hid. Here we are the light of the world. What does a city do? A city, you know what? If you're in a city, you have better defense. Back in those day and times, they had walls around the city. If you have light, you know what? You got better defense with light than without light. It cannot be hid. A light makes visible the things that are invisible. A child of God, what Jesus is saying here, is not invisible. In other words, if you're light, you're going to be seen. If you're a light, you're not in an unseen state. Christians are not called to be invisible. We're not to go and make ourselves monks and nuns and hide in a monastery somewhere and cover up our light. We are to let our light shine, is what the Word of God is telling us in this passage of Scripture. Light does not go under a bushel. What does this mean when it talks about, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel? I think of a bush, but it's not what it's talking about. It's talking about a measure, a container that holds a measure, a bushel of whatever, a bushel of wheat or a bushel of whatever. You do not light a candle and hide it under a container. Well, you know what? That defeats the purpose. Why do you light the candle for if you're going to hide it under a container? Jesus says you put it on a candlestick. In other words, when you put a candle on a candlestick, what it does, it lights up the whole room for everybody. That's what he goes on to say. And it gives light unto all that are in the house. Even so, we as children of God, we need to let our light illumine others. Because what it does, it reveals truth. The light reveals truth. The more you strive for holiness, the more you try to live your life for Jesus Christ, the more you try to separate your life from this world as far as, in a sense, from the sin and all the immorality, the more you live for Christ, the more you expose the ungodliness of this world. The more your life is a testimony against the sin and the corruption of this world. And you know what happens? People are ashamed because of their ungodliness. They're exposed because of their ungodliness. And sometimes they get hostile because of their ungodliness. But what we're commanded to do, it doesn't give us a suggestion. He commands us to let our light shine. We are called as lights. Our lights should be on a candlestick. What does that mean? Well, you know what? If you look in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 20, it talks about the candlesticks are churches. You know what? I believe every child of God ought to belong to a New Testament church. I believe every child ought to be plugged in to the body. Why? To let our light shine even more. You remember the candlelight service we had this past December. The more candles that were lit, the brighter our light did shine. You know what I believe starts revival is when God's people start living more godly for Him and more holy unto Him. And when we start living our lives in a committed fashion unto Him, you know what? The light shines brighter. Light shines bright everywhere we go. You think about it. You look at revivals in the past. People's hearts were stirred. And it's because God's people's light started shining. But you got to strive for holiness. You got to desire to be in the presence of Christ. And what God does, God strategically places his lights where they will be the most effective. I like how God works. God's the one who places his lights, that's you, where they shine best for his glory. Some of y'all might remember this. I don't think it's copyrighted. If it is, I'm sure Sarah will delete it because Lydia will be on her case about, well, it's copyrighted, it's copyrighted. Well, any of y'all remember this little song? It says, brighten the corner where you are. Brighten the corner where you are. Someone far from harbor, you may guide them across the bar. Brighten the corner where you are. You know what? We've got to brighten the corners where we're at. God's placed you in places where I'm not at and where others are not at. But you know what? You've got a light and you are the light. Therefore, you've got to let your light shine in the corner of the world, in the place where God's got you. Because if you don't let your light shine like you're supposed to, how are they going to hear? You've got a responsibility. Here is the command from our Lord. Our responsibility is simply to shine. Notice what it says. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. What's the purpose of shining? It's that they might see our good works. Very interesting Greek word there, the word good. The word good is not agathos, which is good, but it's the word kalos. Now that Greek word, what it simply means, it means beautiful. It means something that is beautiful. That they might see your beautiful good works. You ever thought of your works being beautiful? Here's how our Lord speaks about our works. They are beautiful. What are good works? You remember what Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. For by grace have you been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which he hath foreordained that we should walk in them. God has ordained, foreordained the works that we might walk in them. What are those works? It's the works that God has foreordained, and he's called them beautiful. What are those beautiful works that we should be walking in? Now, you know what? This could cover a lot of areas. First and foremost, I would say it'd be living out the Word of God. As you live out the commands, what God has commanded us to do, you're performing good works. As you share the gospel, you're performing good works. You know what? You can love one another. When you love one another, you're performing good works. Any of y'all ever have any of them old kerosene lanterns? Y'all know what I'm talking about. You ever light that kerosene lantern regular? You know what happens over time? It gets kind of smutted up, don't it? And you know what? When your lamp gets smutted up, I guess that's a good word for it. I don't know if that's a word or not. But you know what I'm saying? It gets darker and darker and your light don't shine as bright. That's when we don't do the good works. That's when we don't glorify God. We need to clean our lamps every now and then. Respecting authority. There are so many ways that God has given us to glorify Him. He has commanded us that we let our light shine. Why? Because God desires to be glorified. Ultimately, it's for His glory. You can go throughout this world, any country. You can go downtown Lexington. You don't have to go downtown Lexington. You can go next door right here. You can go around our neighborhood. And you can see people still are living in darkness. There's darkness all around us. Who's going to warn them of their condemnation? The condemnation is that light has come into this world, but men love darkness rather than light. That's the condemnation. If you are not the light, who is going to warn people of their condemnation? The Lord is commanding us here. It is only Christians that can show light in this world. A non-Christian has not that light. Only light can lead someone out of darkness. Lights are called to penetrate darkness. How do we do that? By our good works. That's what the Word of God says. By our good works. By our beautiful works. Why? That God's glory might redound throughout all this earth. I ask you a simple question. Are you a light in this darkened world? The Word of God tells us over in the book of Colossians, and I close with this verse of Scripture. In chapter 1 and verse 13, the Word of God tells us, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and he has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. God has delivered us from the power of sin. He has translated us and put us, placed us into the kingdom of his dear Son. His Spirit now dwells within us. And through your life, as you live and do good works, you're letting your light shine. And God will be glorified. I can't help but think of the little song, This Little Light of Mine. We sang it last Sunday, or some did. I'm going to let it shine. There are some that can sing that song, but they don't mean it with the heart. Just like any hymn. We can sing many hymns of praise unto God, but if our heart ain't in it, God knows our hearts. Very sincere question this morning. Jesus said, emphatically, you and you alone are the light of the world. Are you the light of the world? What an honor for Christ to call himself the light of the world, and yet he calls us the light of the world. To me, that's very profound. I'm flabbergasted that my Lord would call me the light of the world, call you the light of the world. We are being honored by our Lord. Are you shining to the glory of God? We're going to give a hymn of invitation. And as you put your Bibles away and zip your purses up and zip your Bibles up and put away your candy and wake up, some of you still asleep. I want you to ponder. Have you ever surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? Bowed before him as Lord. Acknowledging him as Lord, that he died upon the cross for my sin. And I desire to live for him. Have you ever done that publicly and acknowledged him publicly that he is Lord? Have you ever followed the Lord in scriptural baptism? If you have, let me ask you, is your lamp all smutty? Is there things in your life you need to clean out, get right with God? We're going to give a hymn of invitation. And I ask that you simply respond as the Spirit of God is so leading. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, what a treasure we have in your word. That you would call us children of light. That we're not just reflectors, but that your light lives within us. And that at this present time, we are the light of the world. Lord, if we don't believe, then how will people know? Lord, we ask that you send us to the world to penetrate darkness in whatever area of life you have placed us in, that you might be glorified in us and through us. And we'll give you the praise for Christ's sake. Amen. We're going to sing, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus."